My name's Patrick. My name's Patrick, and I'm 11.
What do you like to do?
Ride bikes. It is fun, and
who would you want to come back and that's been here before?
Oh, Andrew Jackson.
Happy New Year. Welcome back. That was just a little preview of Patrick, who is 11, and a big part of the discussion that we're about to have. Patrick is a very enthusiastic young lad who really loves seeing what his dad does. And I hope people enjoy this discussion. It's taken a bit of time to finally snag a time to talk to this gentleman, but we're going to talk to a great local leader putting on an incredible event for the state of Indiana that brings in so many different riders from all different states surrounding Indiana to a small little town in Eminence, Indiana. So let's talk about gravel, racing, and community. I'm very stoked about this discussion. And again, if you are not a member of Bicycle Indiana, please go to our website, www.bicycleindiana.org. Become a member, join. We've got a lot of resources to offer about bike safety, education, as well as just keeping us rolling. And that goes towards our podcast as well. So thanks so much. And I hope you enjoy this discussion.
So I started riding gravel in 2014 and really just fell in love with it. Really like the adventure aspect of it, getting off the beaten path and just exploring new roads. And I'm one that I do not like riding the same loop over and over. I want to hit a new road every single ride that I go on.
Welcome back to Bicycle Indiana's podcast, Life Behind Bars. Happy New Year 2025. We are here starting off the new year with our first episode of the new year. I have been trying, and I'm looking at him on the screen right now, but I can't see it. But I've been trying really hard to get an interview with Mark O'Leary, who is the director, I guess, and owner of the Dust Bowl 100 presented by Zip Speed. So I'm really excited for you to be here. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thanks, Margaret. And yeah, apologies. I know you asked, I think the week after the race last year to get on. And honestly, had so much on my plate. I'm and then sure. Trying to get caught up with real life. It just got pushed back. And it works out now to get on, though. So
no, I get it. And I'm just, like I said, I think this is actually a really good time to talk about Dust Bowl, because you've added some new things that I have on my list, as well as it's cold out. It's snowing out right now. So we have plenty of time to talk about this wonderful race that you've created. So first off,
We have some different dust on the ground right now. It's snowing outside my window. So
yeah,
I'm we got sure some cold dust now. It'll be hot dust in July.
I'm sure there's some people out there that are riding the Dust Bowl course as we speak. All right. So let's start off. Tell me about yourself. I mean, I have personally known you, and remember, I did text you, and I always kind of bring this up on the podcast when I talk to people, the first time that I met you, and I'm glad that you brought up the first time, it was at the Jay's Bikes Racing Gravel Fondue race back in 2017, right?
Yes, I think it was.
I think so.
That was my first memory, at least. Yep.
Yeah. And then
I came across the finish line completely dead and toast and laying on the ground, and somebody runs up to me with the camera and puts it in my face, and that was you. So
and it hasn't changed since, because that's what I do all the time, take pictures. And then, of course, I was just always mooching off your draft the rest of the history of our friendship. So okay,
rode a lot of miles together.
Yeah, tell me about yourself a little bit to our listeners who don't know who you are.
So I grew up in Terre Haute, born and raised there all the way until college. My parents still live there, so get to the Terre Haute area quite a bit. Played stick and ball sports growing up, so football, baseball, basketball, you know, when I was younger, and then focused on basketball in high school, and was lucky enough to get to play basketball in college at a small Division III college, Hanover College, down in Southern Indiana. So
did not know that.
Yep. I was a basketball player. I enjoyed riding a bike growing up. I would ride around town. I'd ride to the gas station and pick up snacks or get a gallon of milk and bring it home for dinner, ride to get a haircut, but didn't really, you know, see the bike as training or anything else. It was just a way to get around when I was younger. And really that way through college as well. Graduated college, moved to the Indianapolis area, for work, and have been in that area since. Live in Plainfield now, and have been here for probably 12 years or so. But, you know, and then how the bike kind of works its way into that story is, again, basketball player growing up, I graduated college, tried to play in some old men's rec leagues, and did that for a few years. And eventually your body starts wearing down and you can't do the things you used to want to do. And it's more frustrating than it is fun. So I was like, I got to figure out something else to do to stay active and healthy. And Plainfield here, we have a really great trail system.
You do.
Trail network in town. And so got a bike at Walmart, started riding around mainly on the trails, and kind of just fell in love with that freedom and movement, and it was a good way to get exercise while also not tearing up my knees and everything else. And quickly wanted to go farther and went out, started hitting some county roads, and just kept expanding farther than that, and upgraded from the Walmart bike within a few months. And that was kind of the whole start to the journey. So that was about 2012, I think, is when I really got into cycling.
And you have a lot of basketball players in your family as well, right? Because you're all tall.
Yeah, I've got three brothers. All of us played basketball. All of us played college athletics. So three of us played basketball in college, and one played football. So all pretty athletic, all pretty tall. I'm the shortest one at about 6'1 or 6'2. And then my youngest brother is 6'8. So, wow. Yeah, he's the one of the four of us that we can't get on a bike either because he's so tall.
Oh.
He says he'd look too funny to do it. So
well, maybe one day. I wrote down Elevate Endurance LLC because that is your official business that runs, correct? The Dust Bowl 100 presented by Zip Race, right? Do you want to talk a little bit about how you began with Elevate Endurance LLC?
Yes. So that was, I guess, prior to that. So I always like to jump into something that I'm interested in and kind of dive headfirst in and get really involved. And even, you know, I started cycling, like I said, in probably 2012. By 2014, 2015, I was on the board of the club or team that I ride with here in the Indianapolis area. And, you know, really took a leadership role and a president role within there, you know, in 2016, 2017, and just was always involved and wanted to give back to, you know, the cycling community as well. So I'd always wanted to put on an event. I did a lot of kind of grassroots event or Strava, you know, segment challenges within our team, and led a bunch of group rides, and eventually decided I wanted to make that a little bit bigger. And so I started Elevate Endurance in 2020 as you know, kind of a side hustle, as an event promotion company at that point. And the Dust Bowl was the first idea and the first event that I ran under Elevate. And I've done a few other little things on the side, but kind of Dust Bowl has took off and has grown, and that's really been the focus with Elevate so far.
Well, and I can attest to those group rides that you hosted with your team out there, because I came out from Terre Haute to ride because I did some work with Gear Up Cyclery up in Plainfield, and you do a phenomenal job at promoting the sport, but also being inclusive to all types of riders, where for our listeners, he would have a fast ride that would, you know, go super fast and maybe sprint on a Strava segment, but then they would regroup, and then the group would still kind of have this, this community feeling where you can still feel included on the ride.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, we've always tried to do that with our rides and races. It's, I love to go fast, but I also remember when I started and I was the slowest person on the ride. And I always really appreciated those people that would wait up or, you know, regroup or, mm-hmm. you know, even they may finish before, but they hung around at the end and waited for me to finish. Mm-hmm. So it's just always something I've always tried to, you know, incorporate into any rides or events that we do is just, you know, make it welcoming for all, because we're all at different levels, but we all enjoy the same thing. So, sure.
And I will say for our listeners, as a person who has participated in the Dust Bowl 100, you do a phenomenal job at creating an environment where a racer can come in that's elite to a racer that is brand new. And we're going to really dive into some questions so that way our community can know. But let's first start off with a question. What is the Dust Bowl 100?
The Dust Bowl 100. So it is a 100-mile gravel race. Takes place in Eminence, Indiana, which is a town of under 100 residents. Really? There is no stop sign. There's no stop light in town. There is one stop sign. There's a gas station, a couple churches, and a school, and that's about the extent of the town. So, but it's an awesome town. Been an amazing host town. They have a lot of pride in their community and really have welcomed the event in and have been, you know, open arms for whatever we've asked to do there. So really love Eminence. It's also, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere, but it's not in the middle of nowhere. It's 7 minutes off of the interstate. It's 20 minutes from the Indianapolis airport. It's 30 minutes from downtown Indianapolis. So you're out there, but it's also really easy to get to. So, really enjoy that community. But the race itself, we've got three distances. 100-mile gravel race is kind of the primary distance or the marquee distance. And we offer a middle distance, which in the past has been 80 miles. This year, we're moving that down to a 100K distance. And then we offer a 44-mile distance. I think the three distances are helpful to, again, allow a wide spectrum of riders and experiences the ability to participate in the event.
Sure. No, I really want to talk about your decision later in the call about adding that 100K, the 62 miler. So 100 miles of gravel, multiple distances. You heard it, Indiana, gravel race in Eminence, Indiana. And it is really in the middle of nowhere, just me being out there and helping you with the recon rides. And we'll go into that too. But how did it start? How did this whole concept of you putting this route together? And I remember it was just like a free ride that you hosted as a tester. And then you had an official event, and I'll let you tell the listeners.
Yeah, so you may want to end up editing some of this because it's a long story of kind of the whole evolution of
That's
it.
Okay.
But
we want to hear it. Well, at least I do.
So I started riding gravel in 2014 and really just fell in love with it. Really like the adventure aspect of it, getting off the beaten path and just exploring new roads. And I'm one that I do not like riding the same loop over and over. I want to hit a new road every single ride that I go on. That's getting hard now that I've been riding for 12 years and all of that. But had been riding gravel for 6 or 7 years at the time the Dust Bowl idea came about. And I'd always tossed around the idea of, again, putting on an event. And finally, it was January of 2020. I was out riding actually on one of the roads that's part of the Dust Bowl course. Mm-hmm. And inspiration just hit me at that point. I was like, you know what? This is a great road. This needs to be shared with a wider audience that, you know, at that point, probably five people ever had ridden that on a bike, that road. At least according to Strava, there was nobody that rode out there in that area. I was like, you know what? I need to share this. I need to make an event for it. So went home that weekend, put together a Strava route in that area around Eminence of all the roads I've been on. It ended up being a 44-mile route, which is essentially the same 44-mile route that we have today. And that was my plan. I'm going to do a 44-mile race. It'll be the roads we were on were really self-contained. You didn't cross any highways. It was easy. Eminence was kind of a central point there. Mm-hmm. And I was going to run with it. And then I texted out to a couple of friends, and my really good friend, Frank Kinney, responded and said, this is great, but go bigger. Make it 100 miles. You need a 100-mile distance. That's marquee. That'll get people there. And that was, you know, some of the best advice I could have got is offer a longer distance as well. So went back to the drawing board, kept the 44-mile route, and then just expanded on top of that. And really how the route developed from there is it's really three different parts. There's a part I talked about around Eminence. Mm-hmm. There's kind of a central part that is kind of the Greencastle area or just east of Greencastle. And there's the Vandalia Trail, which is a really nice crushed limestone rail trail there. And that was one of the first kind of gravel roads or gravel sections that I would ride back in 2014. And I would, you know, rode that rail trail quite a bit. And then I'd see a gravel road and I'd veer off and go explore around that area mm-hmm. back then. So I knew those roads. And so I was like, okay, I could put a route together kind of covering that area. And then Bluegrass Bicycle Company, a bike shop in Brownsburg, back in 2014, 2015, hosted a group ride that left from the northern part of Hendricks County. It was called the Bluegrass Gravel Ride, and they hosted it once a month. And it hit a lot of the roads on the northern part of what's now the Dust Bowl route. And it went through all the covered bridges and all of that stuff. So I kind of had three different sections that I had ridden a lot of times previously, but had never put together into one single route. But it made it really easy then when I decided to expand to 100 miles to link those three different sections together. So that was kind of the genesis of the route and have tweaked it over the years a bit. But, in year five of the official event, it's still pretty much the same routes as we started in 2020. And then, you mentioned the free event. So I mentioned January 2020 is when I came up with the idea or decided to do a gravel race. Obviously, COVID came around in March COVID. 2020. So, that kind of shut that idea down of having an official race that year. And at the end of the day, it was actually a really big blessing for the event because it then allowed me to do a smaller test run.
Sure.
That I could then gather feedback and get some marketing material, some content, and then use all of that to actually launch the official first year in 2021. So, I put out a small Facebook event in July of 2020. Sent it out to basically my teammates and some other teams that I knew locally and friends I knew locally and said, hey, let's just get together. Let's go ride this 100-mile gravel course. There's no timing, but we'll kind of race it. We'll stick together. We'll stop at a gas station, refuel, and then we'll race the last 50 miles of it. Yeah. And to my surprise, we had 40 people show up. That July of 2020, we had three people from Illinois come over. So it was a multi-state event.
Yeah.
And the feedback was just overwhelmingly positive. The route, everybody loved the route. And so then that was just confirmation that, yes, I need to move forward with this and decided to launch it in July of 2021 officially. And again, another blessing here as far as registration and the numbers we were able to pull in that first year. I decided to open registration on January 1st of 2021. At that point, again, with COVID, there were probably like three events nationwide listed on Bike Reg for 2021.
Right.
And we were one of the three. So, people were just itching to have something on their calendar, have something to train for. And as soon as we opened registration, we hit our 250 participant cap, like within, a couple of weeks and basically sold out the event at that point. And the 250 cap was just because at that point, the health departments wouldn't allow us to have more people than that at a time. We got them to increase it to 400 by race day. So our first year, we had 400 participants at the Dust Bowl.
That's great. And I kind of want to talk about the school because the school is a huge asset to how you run the event. And you obviously talked about the community of Eminence just being super supportive, but do you want to briefly talk about how the school helps you?
Yeah. Yeah. So our host location is Eminence Community Schools. It's a kindergarten through 12th grade school, and I think they have 124 total students. Wow. So very, very small school, one of the smallest in the state, actually. But they call it the best small school in the state is their kind of slogan. In 2020, the free event that I had, there's a church in Eminence. We used their parking lot. I had some connections there, and we hosted the race out of there and realized that 40 people, what we had was the max that parking lot could handle. And so after that day, I drove around town and was just scoping out different areas. And obviously the school made the most sense. It has the largest parking lot, the biggest buildings there in town. So, reached out to the school and was lucky enough for them to get us or to get their approval, just kind of blindly allow us to use the property for 2021. So
yeah,
and that's really that relationship has really grown, and we have an amazing relationship with the school, their administration, their athletic department. And they've allowed us to do more and more. And every time we ask them to utilize something, whether it's the showers in the school, whether it's having their cafeteria staff host a meal on Friday nights, mm-hmm. whether it's to allow us to tap into their Wi-Fi access to give all of our participants Wi-Fi, they've just been, yes, how can we make this work for you? And just been really great to work with. And I've got to give props also to the fire department there, the A&A fire department. Their property is adjacent to the school, and we use that a lot for parking as well. The course goes through there and crosses a tractor pull track and kind of winds its way back into the school. And they've been amazing to work with as well, as far as access and just promoting the event and doing what they can as well. So
to transition into my next question topic that we're going to talk about, but so for our listeners, there's a school that has a big kind of parking lot and a playground. And then there's this big grassy area in the back where there's baseball fields and just an open grassy kind of area. And the course, the finish part of, the end part of the course comes through this grassy area. And we're going to talk about a lot of kind of the logistics behind event planning. And if people have listened to the previous podcast about Pedal Putnam with Tom Standers and Wes Kendall, event production is something that I think everyone needs to volunteer and be part of, because I think there's a lot of things that are moving and I have a lot of respect for it because I used to put on events as well. So, and of course you had to get stuck with me helping you do that, but let's talk about the actual event itself. It's obviously a race. You have hundreds of riders that show up to this little teeny town to ride gravel. What is your main focus of kind of like that area where the start and finish is, where there's music and there's food and the finish line?
Yeah, so that's something we have tried to grow and improve every year. So the first year we were there, we had a DJ afterwards, we had food in the large tent, and we had a really small podium. That was what happened after the event. And each year we've grown that. Now we have a massive, I don't know the size, maybe 40 by 60 stage that we have set up. We have live music all afternoon. We have a couple large tents. We have, free food afterwards for the participants, free snow cones.
Hear that, Indiana? Snow cones, free snow cones.
Snow cone. That is the one of the participants' favorite things. They always say in the post-event surveys, the snow cone was amazing on a hot uh-huh. July day. So, and just trying to really make it an atmosphere, though, where we have Silka helps or sponsors the bike wash station we have there. So mm-hmm. the participants can go wash their bikes up. Don't have to take those home dirty. The school opens up the showers for $5 per shower or per participant. They can go in there, get a shower, clean up before they head home. And that's one way we give back to the school as well, is they make a good amount of money just through those, participant $5 donations to use the showers afterwards, but really just trying to make it something where people aren't just finishing, loading up, going home. We want people to stick around, at least for a little while, hang out, enjoy some music, recap the day with their friends, cheer on others as they finish. We do a few, obviously, podium celebrations throughout the afternoon. And, one thing I want to continue to get better at is kind of that those last handful of finishers that come in at 5 o'clock at night, 5 to 6 p.m. We have a 6 o'clock cutoff, and we, you know, usually have a few riders that are finishing right around that time. And we have, you know, we don't have a lot of people around at that point. We do have a lot of a good handful of volunteers and some participants. We make as big of a commotion as we can as those last few riders cross the line, and it's always fun. And but really want to, you know, make an even more of an emphasis on that moving forward, where we can, you know, hopefully get people to stick around longer and have 100 plus people there cheering on those final finishers. So, but all in all, it's a great day, really family friendly. Like you said, there is a playground for the school. It's kind of right there by the finish. So you see kids playing on the playground, running around all afternoon. My kids love coming out there to just hang out, either whip their bikes around throughout the area. My middle son Parker loves to just go dig in the creek and find critters, and they probably eat 4 snow cones throughout the day and all kinds of stuff. But it's a fun atmosphere, I think.
I think I remember Frank Kenny one year looked at me because I think I gave somebody a ticket in his family or offered it. And he goes, no. And then he's like, the kids had 2 each or something. And their mouths were just like bright red from the sugary dye or, you know, whatever. Okay, so I kind of want to talk a little bit about the weekend, and then I'm going to dive into more about the specifics of the course and the type of gravel. But the weekend, so Friday is usually packet pickup, people set up, you have a ton of volunteers, you get to be around me all Friday while we set up the course, and then Saturday's the race, and then you're done. So can we talk about a little bit what happens on Friday, so that way if somebody's listening and they want to help out and volunteer, you know, what happens, and then we obviously talked a little bit about Saturday already. So.
Yeah. Friday's again, another thing that's evolved. And I thought Friday last year was a lot of fun. So Friday has always been kind of one of the setup days that we have. And I guess going back to your previous question and discussion a bit, I do need to give a big shout out to you as a thank you for, you know, that first year in 2021, you and I were out there, I think Thursday before, Friday before up. And, you know, that was my first time. I'd helped at events, but hadn't been the guy in charge. And you had done a lot with Nike at that point and knew the event setup aspect and how to make things flow. And, you know, honestly, without your assistance and help that first race, like, we wouldn't be where we are. So just a big thank you there for that. So
you're welcome. And you had no idea how picky I was about snow fencing and how tape should look, right?
Those are important things and things you relate to me. And I think we've tried to carry that forward. So I mean, great advice. So
great job.
But yeah, Friday we have a crew come in about 8 o'clock in the morning. That's when we set up a lot of the, I guess, event venue or event village. So we'll be setting up tables and chairs underneath the big tents. We'll be hanging banners, putting out the last few of the signs that we need to put out. And then the big portion of that is putting up snow fencing along the finish line, and then putting up course tape that goes around kind of the cyclocross portion of that last, you know, quarter mile finish. So it's kind of 8 a.m. to noon is kind of the window that we have a good group of people out there setting that up. It's always been a fun time. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of family, my 3 uncles and my dad come out. And,
they're on the list. They're on the list to talk about.
So we'll get to them a little bit, but they come out between you and them. The mood's always pretty light and fun. So, sure. And then we've always hosted a shakeout ride Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Zip has been the you know, the title sponsor of that as well the last couple of years. And that's grown into actually some really big shakeout rides the last couple of years. But last year I wanted to really, you know, try to make Friday an even bigger event than it had been previously. So last year we moved our vendor expo from Saturday to Friday last year. So 12 to 8 vendor expos open. We had, I think, 12 vendors there last year, looking to really increase that even more this year. So you've got, you know, Zip was out there, Silka was out there, Trek had a booth out there, Ghost Energy had a booth, you know, lots of different industry partners, and then, you know, some that were not non-endemic or not even cycling related, but just groups that wanted to, to be out there and set up. So, and then we also offered packet pickup from 12 to 8 on Friday as well. So people could come out Friday, get their packet, their t-shirts, all of that, not have to worry about that Saturday morning, and they could be done and just, you know, ready to roll up and race on Saturday. As I mentioned earlier, the school opened up their cafeteria, put together a pasta dinner.
Now tell me, what's your pleasure? A la carte? Dinner? Okay.
Hey, Joe.
Bucci, he says he wants two spaghetti speciale heavy on the meatball.
Tony, don't talk.
He's talking to me.
Okay, he's talking to you. You the boss. Mamma mia, mangiare you
could
ever see him.
Could pay $10 for it, and actually it was a great dinner. I went in there at some point that night, and it was really good dinner. And we're going to do the same with that this year as well. So pasta dinner, you got, you know, choice of multiple sauces, whether it's meat sauce, tomato sauce, white sauce. You had chicken. They had dessert. They had breadstick. I mean, all kind. It was a big assortment. For $10, you can't beat it, I don't think. So
the best spaghetti in the town.
And those proceeds go directly back to the school. We don't get a dime of any of that. So that's another way that we try to drive some funds to the school. We did the zip recon or zip shakeout ride at 3 o'clock again. That was great. We had, I think, over 100 people there for that. Tyler Pierce, the vegan cyclist or VC Adventure Time, came out to the race this year as well. And he did what he calls a t-shirt ride, I think at 1 o'clock on Friday, just kind of a really chill little shakeout ride on the course as well. It was about 10 miles. So we had two shakeout rides that day. Great turnout at both. Those were both fun. And then probably my favorite thing of the day was at 5 o'clock, we did a kids race. And it's a free race. Anybody could, you do have to sign up. So dustbowl100.com. And we're going to do that again this year, but there will be a free kids race in the evening. And for kids from ages three through 12, and they get a ride about a half mile course. So it starts underneath the start finish arch. It goes through the middle of the vendor expo. So you've got all the vendors there. You've got the all the participants there hanging out, kind of cheering them on, making a tunnel for the kids to go through. And then it goes down a little section of gravel, so they get a little gravel riding experience. And then it finishes on the kind of the grass section that all the participants will finish on Saturday. So they get just a little taste of riding and racing and had a really fun time with that last year. So we plan to have all those things in 2025 as well. So the expo, packet pickup, dinner, kids race, and have a few other ideas. Nothing far enough along or confirmed yet that I can really speak to, but a couple of other ideas to throw in on Friday to, again, continue to make that just a really big party day.
Well, I wrote down camping. We haven't talked about camping.
People can yes. camp. They can. Yep. And that's another thing that's grown each year too. So for $25 a night, or if you decide to camp the whole weekend, it's $40. We allow camping there. The school opens up their baseball field for tent camping, or if you know you have a sprinter van or even an RV, we allow vehicle camping there as well in different spots throughout the area. So there's been more and more people that have done that each year. It's really convenient. You know, you're right there. You're 100 yards from the finish line. So Saturday morning, you roll out of your tent or your car at 7:40, and you're going to the line and you're ready to go. So we have partner hotels in both Greencastle and Plainfield, a few great hotels, but those are also both 20 to 25 minutes away. So if you want to be a little bit closer, camping is going to be your option. And I think it's a pretty good option.
Yeah. If you get a pasta dinner and camping on site, man, that's a deal right there.
You got access to showers and all of that as well, Friday, Saturday. So yeah, it's pretty good.
So that's Friday. Then Saturday races kick off at what, 8? Is that what it is? I should know this. I've done this for like, what, 3 years?
So year five. Yes. 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock start. Toss around the idea at times of starting at 7, just to start a little bit earlier,
right.
beat the heat, an hour less of the afternoon heat, but we've always had at 8, probably will stick at 8. So 100 mile race goes off at 8 a.m. Honestly, that if we moved to 7, I'd have to be there at like 2 a.m. and I don't really want to do that.
Yeah,
so
that's
kind of the big reason.
Next.
So 8 a.m. start for the 100 milers. Then we have an 8:15 start for the 100K and then an 8:30 start for the 44 miles. So it's kind of fun at the when the 100 mile group rolls out, you've got the 100K and the 44 mile participants all lining kind of the suit they come out of. And it's kind of a cool spectacle. And that's always fun to watch those riders roll out through that. And same, the 100K rolls out, the 44 milers are lined up along the side. And even when the 44 mile participants roll out, there's still quite a bit of families and support crews and stuff there. So, everybody's got kind of a tunnel they roll out through to start the race.
Definitely. And then after the race is done, you clean up. And I wanted to give a shout out to the Ballard family, Jennifer,
who
comes out every single year. And they even brought this fancy, what was it? A fencing? I don't know what it was, but it helped drive.
A post driver. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were excited to bring it out and help install the pins and the poles and for the snow fencing. And they're just a really great family that I always look forward to seeing and kind of bossing them around because we have so much fun.
I mean, that's just a quick story on that. Like, that's one of my, I mean, probably my favorite story of all of the Dust Bowl stories is just the story of that family. Like the mom, Jennifer, actually, in 2021, the first year of the official race, the course goes right by their house, the northern part of the course.
Didn't she take a shower, too, when she raced? She went home and took a shower, she told me.
Yeah, when she raced in 2020. But the first year, it just went by their house, and they were outside and saw it and just sat there and cheered on participants all day. And then Jennifer, the mom, decided in, I think it was, would have been 2022.
Yeah.
That inspired her. And so she signed up as just, a challenge to herself to get in shape and something to look forward to. And, she had ridden a bike some and rode an indoor bike to stay active, but had never done anything more than like 20 miles. And came out that first year. We do what we call recon rides leading up to the event. She joined every single one of those, put in training and did the 100 mile course in 2022. And just seeing her cross that finish line, her family there cheering her on. I mean, it was an amazing, amazing thing. And it inspired all of her kids. I think she's got 5 boys.
Mm-hmm. She does.
To all do it as well. And so they come out and volunteered every single year. Amazing, fun family. And then they all get in and ride the 44 mile course, the next day. So it's stories like that are why I keep putting on the event and gives me that motivation to do that. So.
Well, speaking of recon rides, that's my next topic. Let's talk about the recon rides. So you host of how many, is it three? Three now? Before leading up to the event that allows riders to test out the gravel, test out the course, look at specific locations and features. I guess I'll let you take the stand.
Yeah. So we've called them a recon ride series, and I think we've done them every year, including the first year. But the thought there and what I wanted to do was give people an opportunity to see the entire course before race day and thought that I could lead rides that would allow them to do that. So the first couple of years, I had 5 different rides. They were 20 mile rides that would hit a different section of the course each ride. And if you did all 5, obviously you'd see all 100 miles by the end of it. And those have always been a lot of fun. Zip has been on board as the sponsor for that. They'll come out, have a tent set up. They've had some demos of wheels and light computers, always have snacks and drinks there as well. Margaret, you come out and bring watermelon and different snacks, banana bread. You know, I'll bring some stuff every once in a while. And they're just really fun. They're really fun group rides where you can come out, ride whatever pace you want. We've got a group on the front that'll take it at race pace and go fast. I usually play sweep and kind of ride whatever pace that last person is riding at. And I'll just ride with them, make sure that everybody has somebody they can ride with and they can finish with. And that's how I've got to meet a lot of participants through that way and just get to know a lot of the participants really well. Jennifer was one of those that we just talked about, her and her family. And those are fun events. What we added last year was really cool. The School of Rocks group out of Lafayette paired up with us and they are a good group that kind of does introductory riding and skills development and teaching for new gravel riders and try to make it a really inclusive event. And so they came and joined us and had an option that anybody who was new to gravel or just wanted some more skill development, they would kind of break off from us, teach some of those skills, do a little bit of a shorter route, you know, all, you know, sponsored, I guess, or rider led, and everybody again had a group to ride with, and that was a good addition that we had last year. So like you mentioned we have moved to the three of those recon rides, try to do one in April, May, June is typically what we do, and they're about 30 miles, so you can still see a majority of the course. If you do all three of those, you'll see a majority of the course before the end of or before race day.
Sure. So speaking of the course, let's talk about the course. So obviously you had this huge history of creating the course, picking the route, riding the route, knowing these roads, riding them with your teammates, but describe the gravel to somebody who's never ridden gravel. And let's say compare it sometimes to other types of gravel, maybe in the state of Indiana. So first let's describe what the gravel's like.
This is a good question because honestly, when I started the race in 2020, I didn't have a lot of gravel racing or gravel riding experience outside of the state at that point.
Sure.
So for Indiana gravel, I would say that our gravel is pretty, for Indiana gravel, it's champagne gravel in Indiana.
It's tame,
smooth,
I call it.
It's tame. It's smooth gravel for Indiana. It's not Boone County chunky gravel. No. Vigo County. It's not the Hoosier National Forest gravel. It's for the most part, it's a little bit smaller. And then usually there's two travel lanes at least where the cars have worn it down. The tractors have worn it down, and you can ride pretty smooth the majority of the course, unless they decide to dump gravel or grade it, you know, a couple of weeks before the event, which they did on a few roads this year. But in general, I would consider it smooth gravel.
Sure.
Now, as the event's grown, as we've got participants coming in from all over the country now, as I've also gone out and done other events, like Mid-South, done Barrier Bay and some others in Michigan, have ridden down south. Like, I would say our gravel now compared nationwide is kind of in the middle of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. We are not the really smooth, fine gravel of Michigan. We're not the packed red dirt of Oklahoma or Mid-South. Sure. I'd say those are a little bit faster. You know, I haven't been to Colorado, but I heard their gravel, you know, obviously their champagne gravel is really smooth. So we're going to be chunkier than that. We're white limestone gravel. Mm-hmm. That's where the Dust Bowl name comes from. There's dust and there is a dust cloud following the Peloton around that day. And so, you know, that's where the name comes from. But I would say it's kind of in the middle range nationwide. For Indiana, it's really smooth gravel.
Yeah, it's very fast. The course itself is pretty flat from a participant standpoint, as well as when you're in a group, there's just chunks of gravel, just bing, 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 you know, flying everywhere. And you're just trying to find your way through the dust, but it is an incredible experience in the courses too. And I remember, I think the vegan cyclist, he's on my list to talk about, hopefully when your son Patrick can come in. But the vegan cyclist said, what, 99 turns or something like that? Or what did he say on his
4 hours, 40 minutes. I think 4 hours and 35 minutes was full on like a crit race. Hey, my name is Tyler. This is me. And this is 500 guys that want to rip my legs off. This dude is not impressed. So we are in Indiana, right around this spot for the Dust Bowl 100, where the course is insane. There's 160 turns on this course.
I can't remember how many, 130, I think it's 113 turns is what he had counted and kind of played up in his video. And that's accurate. I mean, on the 100-mile course, there are over 100 turns. So you're getting a turn about every mile. And, you know, I get some feedback on that. If some people don't like that. And honestly, like, I probably wouldn't choose it that way if I could. But to be honest, we use every single section of gravel is available in our area. And so just to be able to maximize the amount of gravel we have on the route, we have to zigzag and cut back and forth and all of that. So the 100-mile course is right about 60% gravel.
I was going to say there's some pavement too.
Yeah. And there's a couple stretches of pavement. Some get up to like, I think our longest is a 4 mile straight stretch of pavement or chip and seal. So it's not pristine pavement, but it's still pretty smooth. Sure. And, you know, originally I was like, I want more gravel on the route. I want it to be 80, 90% gravel, but where it is today, I think those stretches of pavement are actually really nice reprieves from the getting beat up on the gravel, allow you to kind of settle in, allow you to get drinks, just changes the pace of it a little bit. And I'm really happy with the kind of percentage of gravel to pavement that we have today.
So I wrote down while you're just talking right now, there's a couple of, I don't want to use the word segments, but features in the 100-mile at least, and some in the 60 and the 44. But we've got some bridges, covered bridges. We've got some iron bridges, as well as the Burge Forest. Do you want to talk about those three things?
Yeah. So when I started riding gravel again, the adventure aspect drew me in. I wanted to see things that I wouldn't see driving my car down a normal road. And bridges are one of those things that I've always really enjoyed finding on course. And we have what I call like seven historic bridges on the 100-mile course, two covered bridges with, two covered bridges that are, icons to kind of Indiana. You know, if you think of Indiana, rural Indiana, covered bridges are kind of one of the things that you may think about. And those are on the northern part of the 100-mile course, really, really cool and unique to a lot of events. Mm-hmm. And then we've got, I think there's three iron bridges, kind of with the big trusses that you go through, kind of wooden slats or even metal along the bottom of the bridge. And those are fun to ride through, and you kind of see them off in the distance. And we've actually, in our logo, we play up that those bridge trusses as well. And then there's a couple really old 100-plus-year-old concrete bridges that we go over, one right at the start. And then there's one that crosses some railroad tracks. It's a really unique bridge as well. So those are really cool features. At different times in social media, we've kind of done features on all of them and played those up. You mentioned the Burge Forest. That's one of my favorite sections on the course. It's a kind of a Jeep two-track section that goes through. It's about a half mile through the woods. And you come down this gravel road. The gravel gets a little chunkier. The road gets a little narrower. Mm-hmm. You get to the end of it, and you think it looks like a dead end. There's a driveway off to the left, and then grass in front of you, and some overhanging trees. And it's like, where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of people go out and recon the route and get to there, or you see it on Strava, and they turn around because they don't know where they're going. But then you go straight into the grass, go 10 yards, it opens up, and you see the kind of this dirt trail, and you follow that down into the forest. I've never got a full story. I've been told it used to be a county road that the county no longer maintained. And some of the local homeowners kind of took responsibility and ownership for it. I think there's a lot of different stories around it, but, You know, we have permission from variety of people to use it, and it's one of the more unique features, or the maybe the most unique feature on our course.
And sometimes you might see Sasquatch, right?
We always have a Sasquatch somewhere out there in the woods. So people like to try to find him and get a picture with him. I'd say another unique feature we have is the Vandalia Trail,
which
it's Putnam, and just a shout out to Putnam County as well. So our route goes, 95% of the route goes through Putnam County, which is the adjacent county to Eminence. And they've been amazing to work with, from as far as, you know, road access, bridge repairs, anything that we need for the event, they've been willing to do for us. So a big shout out to Putnam County as well. But they're doing a great job with trails in their community. Mm-hmm. And the Vandalia Trail is one of those. And we utilize that for a portion of the course. And it's, again, a nice crushed limestone packed trail. And the section we use kind of goes through the woods, drops down, kind of crosses a dry creek bed, but it adds a little variety. It's really nice. 3 mile section that's primarily shaded towards the, you know, the second half of the route. So, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the July sun's beating down on you. You get to hit the Vandalia Trail section and just get a little cooler air and get away from the sun for a few minutes. So that's another section.
I'll tell a little story right now that Declan may not appreciate, but Declan, who works for Zip, you know Declan. I found Declan on the Vandalia Trail in 2023, and he latched onto our group, and then I never saw him again, and he did not like me. Declan, I'm sorry.
Other icon of the course, I think. The other one I want to talk about is the we call it the gravel pitch.
And
it is the shortest hill of hills, but it's one of the, it's, you know, feisty. When you're riding, a lot of times you see a hill in the distance and it looks massive. And as you get closer, or as you start to ride up, it kind of shrinks and they don't look as big when you actually get to them. The gravel pitch is completely opposite.
It looks
ominous in the distance. You get to it, and then you like look straight up it, and it's like, oh, I got to go up that thing.
Yep.
It's short. I mean, it's, I don't know, 30 feet to the top or 50 feet to the top.
But it's steep.
It's steep, and I've seen some Cat 1 racers fall over on the hill, just not getting the right speed or not being able to shift gears, and those tip over on their side. So no shame in walking that hill.
Right.
That's where a couple of the race winning moves have gone on that hill, because it's about 10 miles from the finish. And then Keeley from Zip has been out there the last couple of years.
You with mean Denim Danger? Denim Danger?
Denim Danger, yes. Has been at the top with our last aid station. He runs that and is just out there bringing the stoke and has music playing and heckling people as they go up that hill kind of towards the end. So that's a fun section as well.
So for our listeners, Keely Rusk is our SRAM rep for our territory for Indiana. And he has a full denim outfit and we call him Denim Danger. So next time you see Keely, who works for SRAM, you let him know Denim Danger. You know, he's a rowdy character. A lot of people appreciated that aid station, I remember, because it's 10 miles from the finish. But also, I think you had like cold washcloths or something, or just wet washcloths. I can't remember one year you did, but people were very happy. Maybe he bought them or something like that, but people
Zip crew does a good job of bringing out cold towels or washcloths for the aid stations they help out at. So those have been really beneficial. I would say we do to that comment, we do as finishers cross the finish line, every single one of them, we drape them with a cold wet towel and hand them a water bottle. So
okay, 62-mile route. Let's talk about that. That's new for 2025. Why did you decide to switch from 80 to 62 for the middle route? And are you getting good feedback about it?
Yeah. Good questions there. I don't know why I didn't do 100K to start with. So, you know, Dust Bowl 100, 100 miles makes sense. It would have made sense from year one to do 100K as well. So it's the Dust Bowl 100 as well. Sure. But the way that the routes were initially set up, 80 miles, I guess for the aid stations, we had 80 miles was just the easier of the two options to do at that point. But we've always had feedback of, hey, can you add in a 100-mile course or different things like that? I've also thought, you know, and a lot of people have said, if I'm going to do 80 to 85 miles, I might as well do 15 or 20 more and do the 100.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I did the 44 this year, but the jump to 80 is just, that's so much, that's basically double. So that, you know, I'm going to stick with the 44. Whereas the 100K just seems, you know, it's kind of an iconic distance, 100K. It's a good jump up from the 44 is another challenge for those people. Somebody that wants to come out and race hard, but not be out there 5 hours. They want to be done in 3 hours. They can do the 100K. So a lot of reasons. I mean, it was a no-brainer to move to that route. And the 80 miler was our lowest. We always had the lowest participant count in that distance. So moved to 100K this year, and feedback has been great on that. I think we've got, as it always has been, the 100 miler is still our main distance. About half of our participants are signed up for the 100 miler, which is where we've kind of been every year. But really the 44 and the middle distance, the 100K this year, kind of flopped in popularity. So I think about 30% of the participants are going to do the 100K. So that would be, you know, 300 to 400 people doing the 100K. And then 200 to 300 currently signed up for the 44 miler. So a lot of people jumped up from that 44 distance to the 100K. So that's exciting.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about volunteers. Volunteers make events magical and wonderful. We all appreciate volunteering. How can somebody get involved, and what are some of the kind of the jobs that you need help with during Dust Bowl 100?
So I'll just throw this out there while I'm thinking of it. So dustbowl100.com/volunteer is where you can sign up. You can get all the details on volunteering, and any you know, questions you have can be answered there. But like you said, volunteers are key. We have amazing volunteers. Like the feedback we get again in that participant survey is your volunteers are amazing. You have the best volunteers. They're engaged. They're friendly. They're, you know, they'll do anything they can to help us. And it really makes that participant experience kind of the top of the line. And I think one reason the event's grown is just because those participants, you know, get served really well by our volunteers. So a big shout out to all of them. But, you know, as with every event, we can always use more volunteers. I think we've got about 100 and, I don't know, roughly 150 at least volunteer spots that need filled. Mm-hmm. It would be amazing if we could have 150 volunteers, but that's a hard number to get to. We usually get 70 to 75 volunteers. So that means there's people doing multiple volunteer shifts, just busting their butt all weekend long. I mean, my entire family's out there. Mm-hmm. You're out there most of the mm-hmm. week, and I have teammates out there. So, I mean, cannot be more grateful for the support we get, but always would love to have more volunteers as well. So, and it's, we have so many different options for volunteers. You can volunteer an hour, you can volunteer a day, whatever works with you. So I guess a couple things we have is we have course set up on Friday that we talked about a little bit.
Hang out with me.
Yep. Hang out with Margaret, get bossed around by Margaret. And then really Friday, the other thing is just registration or packet pickup volunteers. So we need, you know, 10 or so available for, you know, at all hours that whole day, a couple different shifts within that, but need those volunteers. Same thing Saturday morning. Parking is a big thing we need volunteers for. And then a packet pickup again Saturday morning. A lot of miscellaneous stuff throughout the day. In imminence at the start finish line. We need aid station volunteers out on course. One that we offer a SAG support. So if somebody is out on course and they, for one reason or another can't finish, maybe they get too tired. Maybe their bike breaks, maybe, hopefully not, but maybe they have a crash and need picked up. We have volunteers that go out, drive the course, bring those people back in. And that's one we can always, you know, the more people we have for that, the better. Marathon gas stations, are the sponsor for that SAG support. So we have people that go out, drive their own vehicles, pick up people. But Marathon gives us a bunch of gas cards that we give them to those volunteers, give back to them a little bit. So that's one thing that we need help with. And then tear down at the end of the day is always a big one. Again, we're relying on a lot of the same volunteers. So by 6 o'clock Saturday, everybody that's been there is tired. Mm-hmm. The more fresh people we can have show up at six, the quicker we can get torn down. And
I get delusional at that point.
We all are, and we're dying. And we still somehow get it done within 2 hours. But, you know, if we could get the more fresh people we have show up at six, we could be probably knock it out in an hour and be done a little bit quicker as well.
I always thought about recommending this because Nika does this. They don't do podiums until the whole finish is, you know, picked up and put in the trailer. Done. But that wouldn't really work well with you.
No, there's some ideas there, though. But we have had some good groups. I think we've got some groups looking to help this year with some of that stuff. But again, always more volunteers, the better. I'd rather have too many than too few. Yeah. And then just some volunteer perks. Obviously, everybody will get a T-shirt for volunteering.
And they're good T-shirts. They're good T-shirts.
Thank you. If you're a participant volunteering, we will refund. For every hour you volunteer, we'll refund a portion of your entry. So we have a lot of volunteers that get either, you know, basically half their entry refunded or even their full entry refunded just for volunteering the day before or at packet pickup prior to the race or tearing down afterwards. If family members, we get a lot of family members volunteer while their spouse or kid or somebody's out on course. We have a lot of things during the race that they can help out with, whether that's an aid station, whether that's just handing out finisher awards, picking up stuff around the school, different things like that. That's a good option if you're a family member and don't want to just sit around for, you know, 6 hours while your family member is out riding. You could help out as well. If we have volunteer groups, we will donate, you know, to those volunteer groups as part of their volunteer hours, et cetera, as well. So, and then two other perks, free camping if you volunteer. So we'll give you a free camping spot if you want it. And then if you didn't get into the race this year, we are sold out. You can volunteer and get guaranteed early access to registration for the next year. So that's a good perk as well.
It is. So dustbowl100.com/volunteer. I'll put information into the description. Oh, we're not done yet. I know you have to. I wanted to make sure I'm respectful of your time, and we got to get Patrick in here.
I can talk all day.
So. I'm sure. So your uncles you mentioned before, four of them or three of them come?
I've got three uncles and then my dad. So there's four brothers. Okay. But yeah, three of my uncles and my dad typically have been at every race.
And also Indiana, they all laugh the same. If we get all the O'Leary family boys in the same room, they all laugh the same. So you got the uncles that come in. They're like, I want to describe them almost like the Three Stooges. And they're just, I know there's four of them, but they're all buzzing around, driving a golf cart. And
hello.
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 Barking at each other, but they're really great workers and they help you out a ton, and they're just a great group of people that come in. So do you want to talk about your uncles? Are their ears burning?
Their ears are burning, yeah. So actually we were creating some texts last week about the race, and all of them, you know, big plans. Hey, I'm gonna be there. So we've always been a pretty close family. One of my uncles, Jeff, lives in Florida, and then the rest of them live in Indiana. But, you know, as I've gotten older, as they've all had kids, now they've gotten older, we don't have as much time where we get together as a big family, you know, extended family. Okay. And the Dust Bowl's kind of stepped in and been one of those weeks now where all the uncles do get together and some of the cousins get together. Yeah, and gets the family together. It's really fun. And like you said, they're all – it can be hilarious, and it's been a blessing to me too. Like, I can obviously get stressed that week with all that's going on and things to do, but they're all so lighthearted that it also makes me laugh. And it just, I think it's been good for me to have them out there as well, and keep the mood light. I think all the participants that interact with them all get a good laugh out of them as well. So it's fun.
They're a great group. Okay. Do you want to bring in Patrick? Is Patrick available? Yes, Patrick is Mark's son, oldest son, right?
Yep. So I've got three boys. My wife, Amy, and I have three boys. Patrick is 11. Parker is 7, and Paxton just turned 4. So they keep us busy, but I'll get Patrick. But I guess one comment too is, obviously there's a lot of work that goes in the Dust Bowl, and it's one of those things, like thinking about my kids is what do they see this as, something that takes time away from them, or is it something that that they like that I do? And kind of question that. And then this year, like at the race, it was really fun because Patrick kind of took ownership of.
Oh, he did.
Or just wanted to be involved in the race. And he was by my side probably, for me, race week is seven straight days on the go. And he was by me probably 80% of that week, just helping with all kinds of stuff. And my other boys, they're a little bit younger, but they were out there entire race weekend. We spent the night out there Friday night. And it was really fun. And it was kind of rewarding to see that they enjoyed it. And it's something they look forward to. And it just another kind of validation of, this is something to keep doing and pursuing and growing. So I guess just a comment there.
Yeah. Well, I wrote down special memories on my list, and I wrote down the vegan cyclist and Reggie Miller. And I wanted to ask, obviously those are really special key moments in the Dust Bowl 100 where Reggie Miller came out. And for all those like me, I unfortunately didn't know who Reggie Miller was. And now I do, but, at the time when he was coming out for the Dust Bowl 100 the previous year,
2023,
yep. I had to Google him, but he then
you're not from Indiana. not. We'll let it slide.
But then he found me on course and he complained about how I was too small to draft off of. So I said, I'm sorry, Reggie. And then also you had the vegan cyclist last year, which was, the vegan cyclist was connected. Patrick connected you to him. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I'll have to bring Patrick in.
Yeah,
I'll have
bring
to
get him
the story
in.
On how that whole thing shook out. So
I'll have like a transition I can do in the podcast. To transition to get him. Maybe he can tell us about the vegan cyclist.
Yeah, let me go get him real quick.
The only Hoosier that doesn't know Reggie Miller.
Yeah. So that might be true. I'll be back in a second.
Okay. Well, while we're waiting for Mark to come back with Patrick, his son, www.dustbowl100.com is their website where there's information, everything that we've talked about today on this website. It's really well designed and easy to use. Check it out. Volunteer. Just get connected with them on social media. They have Instagram and Facebook, I believe, and maybe Twitter. I'm not sure. Does people use Twitter still? But yeah, check them out. Great event. I participate myself as a racer, but also volunteer all weekend long. And also they're a funding ride. And this is a good point in the podcast to talk about funding rides. But we have funding rides that events like the Dust Bowl 100 donate and pledge $1 per registration or per rider. And that helps Bicycle Indiana, me, and our organization keep rolling and doing the great things that we do for the state of Indiana for cycling, bike safety, education, as well as just getting people on bikes and providing resources for cyclists all over Indiana. So check it out. But yeah, it's really exciting to see and to obviously talk with Mark for a little bit about this great event. Oh boy, here comes Patrick. Oh, he was outside. What up, boss man? Oh, I don't know if he can hear me.
Nothing.
We're about sledding?
Yeah.
We're playing in the snow? Cool.
Getting ready to go sledding.
Okay, well, we'll make this quick so you can get out in the snow before it gets too dark out. So I wanted to have you join our podcast recording to talk about you as kind of the assistant director of the Dust Bowl 100 presented by Zip. So do you want to take a moment to kind of introduce yourself to people that are listening to our podcast?
My name's Patrick. My name's Patrick, and I'm 11. Ride bikes and mountain bike.
Do you want to talk about the vegan cyclist and how you connected with him and got him to come to the Dust Bowl 100?
So I thought of it like last year, and then, the year before the last Dust Bowl, and then I forgot to do it that year. So then I just made like a video and sent it to him. And then he just responded and said he'd come.
You made a Dust Bowl and Vegan Cyclist hype video that you put together all by yourself, and you sent it to him?
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Got his attention.
Uh-huh. And then he came out and he raced it. And according to his race recap video, he loved it. And I'm using quotations.
What a phenomenal race. And then there's not a lot of races that have 500 hitters show up.
He said he had a great time coming out and raced the event. So,
what's your favorite thing about the Dust Bowl 100, Patrick?
It is fun, and
snow cones, right? Is it the snow cones too?
Yeah.
What'd you do all day Saturday last year?
Just help.
Yeah, just think you were hanging around.
Yeah.
You're bossing people around. You're bossing me around. What are you looking forward to this year?
All of it. And,
Who are you going to try to get this year to come out?
Oh.
Do you think we're trying to get this year to come out?
He's looking at his dad going, I don't remember.
So. Who would you want to come back then that's been here before?
Oh, Andrew Jackson.
You'd fun hanging out with Andrew Jackson, one of the Zip riders, and then Tyler, Vegan Cyclist. Patrick had a good time hanging out with both the California boys that were out here last year, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the call and talking, Patrick, and always really excited for you to help out and be a part of it. So I'll let you go sledding and playing in the snow while we've got this beautiful cold white dust out, you know, out here. So I'll see you in July, Patrick.
See ya.
Okay, bye. Okay, so for our listeners, since I want them to know a little bit more about the Vegan Cyclist, do you want to tell our audience who the vegans? Obviously, people know who Reggie Miller is besides me. But do you want to tell our listeners who the Vegan Cyclist is?
Yeah. So, like Patrick mentioned, he he was being shy, but Vegan Cyclist is, and now you know he goes by. I guess he goes by VC Adventure Time is kind of what he goes by now. But everybody still knows him as the Vegan Cyclist, Tyler Pierce. Based out of California, and is kind of a YouTube personality and cyclist and endurance and adventure cyclist. So he has some really cool and fun videos on YouTube of just crazy rides that he's done over the years, and you know, things, whether it's cycling in Bolivia or through Death Valley or in France, and just these wild challenges, but really fun videos. And Patrick loves to watch him on YouTube, and just had the idea, you know, or he's like, you know, I wish Tyler would come to the Dust Bowl some year. Like, hey, why don't you reach out to him? And he's like, he was thinking about it a little bit, and then he put together the video like he talked about and sent it to him, and we were able to get him out. But he's a great guy out of, like I said, out of California, and we're really happy to have him come out for the race last year. And again, he led a shakeout ride on Friday for us. Was really engaging with it, with the community and all the people that were there at the race. And what was really cool, Thursday night, he flew in from California, arrived Thursday. And one of the things when we got him to come out is like, he was like, you know, I want to cook you and your family dinner.
Oh, wow.
He's like, you know, I don't want to just come to these events and drop in and race and get out of there. I kind of want to experience it. I also want to, you know, get to know the people behind the events. And he's like, I want to cook you all dinner. So, we met Thursday night, and actually, my friend Garrett Johnson lives close to Eminence, has a really cool house out in the woods. And, so we all met there, the vegan cyclist came out, brought all of the food. We spent about 2 to 3 hours that night just cooking dinner together. Obviously it was vegan, which I'm not vegan, but it was one of the best meals I've ever had. Just the home cooked stuff, the vegetables, everything was great, and spent a lot of time just, you know, talking, you know, within that small group and getting to know each other. And you know, Patrick was obviously loving that aspect of it, just getting to spend you know, an evening with somebody you've seen on TV or on YouTube, you know, all the time, and getting to actually hang out with them. And it was a really cool experience and a fun time. So was really appreciative of that.
That's great. Have you had any other big name pros? I was looking through results to see, but I mean, Gabby Arnold's to me a really big deal.
Yes.
Shout out to Gabby.
Gabby won last year. Drew Dillman is a 2-time winner.
Flame on.
Yep. So there's a little beef between vegan cyclist and Drew Dillman, the winner this year. Kind of a lot of it was tongue in cheek and pretty funny. They actually, you know, ended up getting on a separate podcast together and kind of hashing it out. So actually some good publicity for our race. But Drew's a great guy and really accomplished cyclist.
Yes, he is.
Especially on the cyclocross side of it, and when he was in college, you know, multiple time national champion and really good gravel racer, kind of knocking on the door of getting in that lifetime Grand Prix, and he's won the race twice. We've had a really good, I kind of consider the Dust Bowl, who we've had is it's that stepping stone to that next level to the highest level of gravel racing. Sure. So we haven't had any lifetime Grand Prix athletes come out and participate in it yet. Obviously, but would love to have anybody at the very pinnacle of the sport join us. But we've also, I feel like, become an event where those guys trying to get to that level have been really successful. I've used it as kind of a jumping stone. So you've got Daxton Mock out of Wisconsin, has been on the podium a couple of times. Mark Miles out of Kentucky is another guy who's had some nationwide success on the gravel scene. Ethan Overson has won some really big gravel races and has had a lot of success as well. Spencer Miller's an Indianapolis guy that won it a year. And I mean, that guy is just stinking fast.
Spencer, I hope your ears are burning right now, but I took photos of him when he was a young rider doing the Monrovia time trial. And now I see him, I'm like, he's all grown up and he's killing it, but he was killing it then too.
Yes. Yeah. He is a special talent, but it's been really cool to see these guys that have been on the podiums or even we have a couple of guys that, you know, the first Dust Bowl, they were 14, 15, and now they're 18, 19 and have really developed. And I think a couple of these guys are going to have some really good, you know, careers in cycling, and just see them develop through, you know, and use the Dust Bowl every year as kind of that big goal for them and see them get better. And now expanding into, you know, nationwide events and kind of parlaying their success here into other things has been really fun to watch. So really kind of like where we are as a pipeline to get these guys experience and big race experience that they can then jump into other things.
Sure.
Guys and girls. Cause we have some really, really strong stacked women's fields as well. Oh, with some strong riders. So
Samantha Clark.
Samantha Clark out of Kentucky, is a multi-time winner of the Dust Bowl. I think she won the juniors race the first year and then two of the the next two open women's races, and unfortunately had a crash last year.
I know.
Or they would have been up there as well. But our women's fields have continued to grow and get faster and stronger as well. So that's been fun to see.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. How did that work? So for our listeners, Mark messaged me when Dust Bowl registration was going to open up to how to get more women registered. How did that go?
So we've, I guess the initial background on that is obviously we wanted to grow women's participation in the sport, and I've tried to put a focus on it. We made a goal in 2023 to get 200 women to the race, and we got to 199, I think, registered. So close to that goal.
Sure.
Last year, we were right about that same number. And so this year, you know, obviously you want to break that 200 women participant mark. And the idea, you know, I came up with and bounced off a few people was, hey, can we, if we gave away a free women's entry for, you know, every X number of women that signed up, would that help drive it? And we decided to test that method. And so we ended up, for every 40 women that signed up, we do a raffle and give away one free women's entry that person could either use to refund their entry from when they signed up or pass it along to another woman to have them, you know, sign up and get in the event. So I know at least one of those people that won the raffle passed it on actually to the Midwest Devo
nice.
Development team. I had one of the girls from that team join the event then from that free entry. So today we are sitting at, or last night I looked, we were sitting at, I think, 190 women. So
so close.
Still have not got there. We do have we have wait lists open now, and we've got a good amount of women on the wait list that should get into the event. So I think we will pass that 200 women mark by the time race day comes around.
That's great.
So,
That's great. Okay. I have two more questions, and I promise you I will be completely done talking about anything on my list. I want to talk about struggles. I kind of wanted to put this on here because I have a memory of the first year that you put this on officially, and the bathrooms out in the softball field were out of toilet paper. And you looked at me and I said, "Don't worry, I have toilet paper." And I had rolls of toilet paper in the trailer that you were using, and we took toilet paper over. So I always kind of check toilet paper for you.
Yep. Mark, do you have toilet paper? Yep, I got it. I got it this year.
Yeah. What are some struggles? Are there any? I don't feel like I have any.
I will say, I mean, I've been blessed with that overwhelming feedback is positive for the event that we have. Yeah. I mean, there's always things we can improve, and we do a post-race survey that I honestly take to heart, and anything that people call out that needs to be improved or changed, like I write it down, and, you know, we've been able to implement changes to improve a majority of those things that come through for the survey. And luckily those things are pretty minor a lot of the time. Kind of like the toilet paper thing, just little things that either we thought of and it just didn't get executed well enough, or things that we didn't think of. And, you know, obviously others are going to see and point it out to us. So, not the way you might've thought of it, but a struggle is, and I've always been told this, but when you get in the bike industry, whether it's working at a bike shop, whether it's promoting events, everybody wants to do that, wants to get into working in a industry of what they love. Your writing time, though, goes out the window.
Or you're really tired like me sometimes.
Yes. You still try to get the writing time in, you just don't get the recovery. Sure. So, you know, my fitness, you know, I'm still in pretty good shape. I still ride consistently. I just don't get a ride as long. And part of that's with kids growing up. But part of it is, you know, 2 weeks of my summer are basically off the plate because I'm in Dust Bowl mode. And there's a lot of other things that go on throughout the year, Dust Bowl related. Just take, you know, well, there's an hour that I'm doing that I could have been riding previously. So so it's just taking time away from me being able to ride, but it's still something that obviously I love doing, and the sure. feedback and those different things are a reward for that and make me want to keep doing that. So
yeah,
I'm trying to think of any other major struggles though, but I don't know. There's always room to grow and improve. And like I said, we take to heart any feedback that we get and try our best to improve that. So, yeah.
That's exciting. I mean, we talked almost for 90 minutes. I mean, we could probably keep talking, but I'm going to be respectful of family time and making sure that you maybe can go outside and play and look like cousin Eddie again.
Yes.
But DustBowl100.com, Mark O'Leary, president, owner, race director, king of the Eminence Dust Bowl Gravel. Like I said, I don't want to sound like a mom, but I am extremely proud of you. And I really, truly love watching how much passion that you have, but also watching you grow the event. But you as a person in the industry now, like you had talked about, of putting on events. And event production is tricky and it's tough, and you do a phenomenal job at it. So I look forward to cramping at mile 90, like I always do.
We'll have some pickle juice and Coke and stuff out there for you if you need it.
I look forward to, of course, helping out. So always remember that you've got me for Friday and Saturday to volunteer. Okay. Yeah. Well, I will edit this. I appreciate you taking the time to talk about this. I'm really looking forward to our listeners to learn more, whether it's volunteering or even trying out racing gravel or just riding it. So www.dustbowl100.com, Dust Bowl 100 presented by Zip. Mark O'Leary, I hope you have a great night, and I look forward to seeing you at that first recon ride.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.